Well, the Queensland government says it will reunite families for Christmas, with plans to open the border to fully vaccinated travellers from New South Wales, the ACT and Victoria by the 17th of December. The government's laid out a three-stage plan, which will also mean that unvaccinated Queenslanders could face restrictions that they're not facing now. In fact, face restrictions for the first time. This signals the end of the COVID zero lifestyle for the Sunshine State. Stephen Miles is the Deputy Premier of Queensland. Stephen Miles, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good morning, Frank. Great to be with you.
Anastasia Palaszczuk has repeatedly spruiked Queensland's zero COVID lifestyle and few restrictions compared with the other states. She says that's what Queenslanders want. So will Queenslanders be ready to live with COVID by Christmas?
We think they will, provided we can get as many of them vaccinated as possible. And so that's our focus now. It might not have had the urgency for a lot of Queenslanders because they just haven't experienced it in the same way as the southern states. But that's left us with this difficult position of being one of the few places in the world to decide when to allow the virus in. And that's the decision we made yesterday, that the 17th of December is the point in time when we should be able to get to 80%. And we really decided we needed to set that deadline. Setting it before Christmas, as you say, gives families a chance to plan for how they might get back together at Christmas time.
Okay, let's step through the plan. The current rate of double dose vaccination in Queensland is 56.58%, I think, so just under 57%, which is very low. I think it's the lowest of all the states. At 70% double vaccination, expected to hit that on the 19th of November, vaccinated travellers need to arrive by air and they'll still need to quarantine at home for 2 weeks, even after getting a negative test before flying. Why so tough, and how are you going to police people quarantining at home for 14 days?
Well, that's still a significant easing. We've only just started trialling home quarantine, and that's a significant expansion of home quarantine. Requiring people to arrive by air both makes it easier to manage for our police and easier to issue those directions so that we can enforce the home quarantine. But it also gives some control over where the travellers will be arriving from and going, so that we have a lot of border crossings with New South Wales, and if we just had people crossing by road, they would be travelling right throughout the state. It would be very difficult to enforce them going
right. So how will it be policed though if someone's quarantining at home? Will the police be doing home checks?
Police will be doing home checks. We have an app that triggers at random times and requires people to check in and confirm that they're at home. So there's a range of measures we've got in place now and have proven effective.
And in terms of the home quarantine, the trial currently, it's for people living in freestanding homes that have no shared common access areas. That's pretty limiting. I mean, do most people live in freestanding homes? What are all the people who live in apartments or in terraces or townhouses? They can't quarantine at home?
Not at this stage, no.
Are you going to stick with that? That's pretty limiting, isn't it, for a lot of people?
Yeah, we are at this stage because the risk, of course, of mingling through corridors and lifts and that kind of thing in apartment buildings is significant. Most Queenslanders do live in freestanding homes, but obviously there are people who won't be able to access home quarantine under these conditions.
Okay, but the government's not considering changing that?
Not until we hit the 80% threshold when we consider it.
Okay.
The risks.
Well, that's some way off. That's 2 months away on the 17th of December, where vaccinated people from hotspot areas can enter without any quarantine, still have to have a negative COVID test. How do you define a hotspot area?
Well, up until now, we've used the definitions of other states. So other states have defined hotspots, and then we've reciprocated those. Obviously, if the approach of other states change, we would need to take that into account. But that's the approach at this stage.
And that's 17th of December. Have I got this right? The Premier said that date's locked in for opening up without quarantine, even if 80% of Queenslanders aren't vaccinated by them. Is that correct?
That's right. That's the point, that on current trends we would reach 80%, and we've said to Queenslanders that's the date, that's the deadline. They've got to get vaccinated by then.
But the plan doesn't say whether there'll be any restrictions introduced in Queensland if there are new cases as a result of in-state visitors. Will you do that? What are you planning?
Oh, look, we've said that in some cases where in regional areas the vaccination rate is below that level, we may still need to bring in restrictions. But otherwise, we see 80% at the point where most restrictions can be eased.
And what if, say, cases in New South Wales surge again? Will you continue to open as planned? Are you ruling out closing the borders again?
Oh, look, this has all been very hard to predict, but what we are saying is that under current circumstances, our expectation is that people will be able to freely move about by the 17th of December, if not earlier.
At 70%, international visitors still have to do hotel quarantine. At 80%, international visitors still have to do quarantine at home. Why are vaccinated people coming in from overseas subject to different rules? What's the thinking there?
We've always had different rules for people arriving from overseas. Generally, the risk from people arriving from overseas has been greater, and that's why those stricter requirements have been in place, and you know will continue to be. This is still a significant easing, though. At 80%, people are able to freely return from overseas. That's not been the case now for a very long time.
Okay, but only home quarantine if they live in a freestanding home.
That's correct, but for the first time, will be able to home quarantine. We're not allowing home quarantine for international arrivals at this stage.
Okay. Can I read you a question from a listener, Deputy Premier? She says, my friend went to his mum's funeral and has been waiting 6 weeks to come home and still no answers from Queensland government. We spoke to Queensland Federal Minister Stuart Robert earlier. He talked about Queenslanders camping on the border trying to get home. What is being done to get Queenslanders stuck interstate home?
We're working through them as quickly as we can. As you say, there's limits to who can access home quarantine. And so while we're putting as many people in the home quarantine as we can, we still have constraints on our hotel quarantine capacity. That's largely affected by the number of international arrivals and the number of international arrivals that we can't anticipate. So we have to reserve hotel quarantine capacity for them first.
But if people are vaccinated and they've been in an area where COVID is not, you know, rampant across a border, why can't they get in?
Well, because we don't have enough people vaccinated here yet. And so even though they're vaccinated, they can still carry and transmit the virus. And we need to get the level of vaccinations up here to reduce the risk of them causing an outbreak. The fortunate but problematic situation we have is we don't have any COVID here at the moment. And so until we get our vaccination rates up, we'd like to push that arrival of COVID back as long as we can so we can get people vaccinated.
So let's go to that critical question. I mean, you referred to it earlier at the start of the interview, but why has the rollout been so slow, the slowest in the country, in Queensland? Why? Have you dropped the ball?
First of all, a lot of our vaccines were diverted to New South Wales to help them deal with their outbreak. And that's the number one reason why New South Wales and the ACT have the highest vaccination rates. You see that when you compare.
Yeah, but Victoria's almost caught up.
Victoria. They're still a bit behind, but they... and then the other difference is that we haven't had outbreaks here, and that hasn't created a sense of urgency. Other states have been able to say that once you're vaccinated, you will have eased restrictions personally. Well, we haven't been able to do that because our restrictions have been largely eased. And so that hasn't created an urgency, particularly in our regional areas. So our rate in Brisbane is much greater and is pretty good. Of course, we want to see more, but we're particularly worried about our regional areas.
Yeah, I'm going to come to those in a moment. But Chief Health Officer Jeanette Young, she says the sooner young people get vaccinated, the sooner the borders can reopen. We know that group is a target group of 20 to 39-year-old. Jeanette Young says you probably feel you're invincible, but you're not. And we've certainly seen that in New South Wales and Victoria. But are young people to blame for not getting vaccinated when for months they were told by the Chief Health Officer not to get vaccinated with AstraZeneca? Was that a major misstep?
Oh, having a shortage of Pfizer was a problem for us in those early months. But now that we have significant supply, we've been able to ramp that up. But you're right. Our rates in 16 to 39 year old age brackets, they're still well below 50%, and that's not good enough.
Your rates of Indigenous vaccination are very poor. In far north Queensland, only 33% of the local Indigenous population has had even one dose, 34% first dose in central Queensland. This is just shameful, isn't it? I mean, we've seen what can happen in Indigenous community. We look at Wilcannia in New South Wales when COVID hit. What are you doing to fix this? You've only got a couple of months to do it.
Yeah, look, this has always been our greatest concern, and unfortunately some First Nations communities, some misinformation has spread on social media and text messages that has generated a greater level of hesitancy. It's not all of our communities. So I'll be in Pomparau tomorrow, which has a similar rate to similar rate to Brisbane, even though it's on the north west of the state on the Western Cape, but others are much lower. And so we've got people right around the state. We've got we're engaging with Deadly Choices, the Indigenous health program that works with sports stars to get those messages out, but it takes time to rebuild those trust in Indigenous communities, and we're doing our best at it.
You know, we've talked to a lot of Indigenous people around the country about this, particularly across New South Wales. The repeated message was, we need teams here on the ground with the vaccine going door to door. Have you got that kind of grunt work happening?
Yeah, we do. We have nurses going door to door. They did Yarrabah last week.
With some success?
But even that, with some success, but not as much as you'd hope. It's really hard to rebuild that trust when it's been broken down. And so, as I say, we've got a real focus on it. We know the risks there. Our First Nations communities have been our concern, our greatest concern right from day one. And, so we do have a huge focus on it, but it really takes time to turn around those concerns.
So, Minister, what happens if you can't turn that around by December 17? Will you still open the borders, or, you know, some have called for some of those Indigenous areas and communities to be closed off until the vaccination rates are higher? What's your plan?
We will still open at that point, and if we need other protections for those communities, we'll consider them. We're keen not to close them off. They spent months last year closed off, and that caused great hardship for them. I mentioned Pormpuraaw earlier with a higher vaccination rate. Well, one of the things they did was require people coming and going to be vaccinated, and so they worked with SkyTrans, their airline, to do that. So there are other measures that might be considered, but our first preference, of course, would be to get their vaccination right up, and that's what we're focusing on.
Okay, but you've got a problem. You've got a problem with Indigenous communities. You've got a problem with some of your tourist communities. Gold Coast, 43.5% in the hinterland, 48.6% Gold Coast North, Cairns, 56.9%, Cairns South, 50.70%. These are the communities people from out of town are probably going to want to fly to, and they're not vaccinated.
No, that's right. There are also communities that have had historic sub-communities of vaccine hesitancy, and so we need to deal with that by getting that middle group, the group that might have minor concerns or just aren't that motivated. We need to find ways to get them vaccinated.
Stephen Miles, thank you very much for joining us again on Breakfast.
Thanks so much, Fran. Have a great day.
Stephen Miles is the Deputy Premier of Queensland.